Our text this evening comes from Matthew, chapter 13, a chapter where Jesus is telling all sorts of parables about the kingdom of heaven. And he tells two here that seem very straightforward and simple, and that they are. But we will look at them this evening. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 44, this is God's word. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all he had and bought it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you now in this time to teach us, even as you taught those who heard you on this day when you first declared these words. Teach us in the power of the Holy Spirit to understand what you mean. Don't hide from us the truth, but reveal it, that we might see and understand and believe, and so be conformed more and more into your image, that we too might be people who treasure the kingdom of heaven. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. These parables force us to consider the relationship between the kingdom of God and sacrifice. That's the topic of the sermon tonight, the kingdom of God and sacrifice. And you can't read these parables without wondering how those two things relate. When I lived in South Carolina, some of the barely teenage boys got to a point where they decided it would be a lot of fun to go around the neighborhood and ring everybody's doorbell at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And most of it was innocent enough, but one night they hit us when the kids were young and they were in bed and the dog goes berserk and Ella wakes up crying with a headache and Wilkes is woken up and I had to pause Netflix, the horror of it all. And I'd kind of gotten tired of it at this point, so I walked out the front door on the off chance that I might see where they had run to hide, and I didn't. But I did see something else. In my front yard, there was glowing right there in the grass, this thing, and I walked up to it, picked it up, and declared as loudly as I could for any little ears to hear, "Oh, look what I found, an iPhone. I've always wanted one of these." And all of a sudden, out of the darkness, these boys come and surround me, and they say, "Oh, that's Bob's iPhone. We can take it to him." I wasn't born yesterday. After some time and some talking, they eventually apologized for ringing our doorbell and causing a ruckus, and I gave them their phone back, and we all parted friends. And it was amazing how easy it was to get them to cooperate, because I had something precious to them. And it's amazing how much significance we put on things like that, an iPhone, work, possessions, comfort, family. And these parables teach us that the kingdom of heaven is of much greater significance than all of those things put together. There is nothing more significant that we could grapple with, that we could understand, that we could even possess than the kingdom of God. But is it precious to you in that way? We'll make sacrifices for those things that are precious to us in life. We will risk being called out by some bald-headed neighbor guy because that iPhone is precious to us. We will risk all sorts of things to gain things that we want or to avoid things that we don't want because of what is significant to us. And the question that these parables force us to wrestle with is this: How significant is the kingdom of God to you? And let's consider this question briefly tonight by looking at just two things. The significance of the kingdom of heaven and the sacrifice that's worthy of it. The significance of the kingdom of heaven and the sacrifice that's worthy of it. What is the significance of the kingdom of God? From where does it derive its value? From where does it derive its importance and its worth? For earthly kingdoms, for most earthly kingdoms at least, the ruler of that kingdom gets glory from the kingdom. How big it is, how long it has endured, how great its power and influence is. The greater these things, the more glory the king is. Even our own country, we call our president the most powerful man in the world because of all the things that come with our land and country that he now has some rule over. But in the kingdom of heaven, the opposite is true. The king doesn't derive glory from the kingdom as much as the kingdom gets its glory from him. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, Jesus is declaring. And here he was, the king of glory, present in the midst of his people, declaring the very words of God, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the wonderful counselor whose glory outshines the angels, in whose presence all now bow down in awe. The heavens are filled to overflowing with his glory, but all of that was hidden. All of that was hidden to everyone here. One of the reasons Jesus says that he tells parables is to mask the glory of the truth of the kingdom of heaven so that only those who are a part of the kingdom fully understand. It's not until three chapters later that Peter is like, wait a minute, you are the Christ. The Pharisees think he's a renegade. The people think that he's a king who can just keep feeding them by the thousands and thousands, making loaves and fishes out of nothing. And no one fully comprehends the glory of who he is. His glory remained hidden. Much like that treasure in the field. But there were those who saw it. Who saw who he was and understood. There are all sorts of stories about this. The woman at the well who, finding out that he is the Messiah, runs off to her town and says, come and see the man who told me everything I have ever done and granted forgiveness. You hear about the Syrophoenician woman whose faith in Jesus is so great that even though he holds her at arm's length and says, I won't do what it is you ask of me because I came just to serve the children of God, she yet cries out, let me just partake of the crumbs that fall from the table like a dog and I will be happy. Because she knew who she was talking to. She knew who he was. And these disciples are slowly starting to understand. And the day comes when they too realize who this Jesus is. So when Peter sees him on the shore, the resurrected Lord, he throws off everything, dives into the water, sharks, who cares, whatever's in there, and he swims all the way to shore just to be with Jesus. What will it take for us to find this treasure precious? In a world flooded by politics, paychecks, statuses, and SUVs, resumes, cheesecake, vaping, narcissism, selfishness, all kinds of things to distract us, to entertain us, to dull our senses. In a world filled with so many things that are good, the not so good? Will we see through the fog to see the glory of the treasure that is the kingdom of heaven, that is the King himself? Are we even aware that his glory outshines anything else that this world attempts to offer? Are we even able to value the kingdom and the King as they deserve? And how can we ever really be sure that we've really got it? Well, what sacrifice are you willing to make to obtain the kingdom of heaven? What sacrifice are you willing to make to enter into the presence of the King? The story is told of a young Russian aristocrat whose quest to outshine the rest of the Tsar's court led him to find a rare, flawless pearl the size of an ostrich egg, which makes me think that this story isn't true. And then I read about a 23-kilogram pearl that some fisherman found and had hidden under his bed for 10 years. You be the judge. But as the story goes, there was nothing like it in the entire world. And it wasn't long before he was the most celebrated nobleman in all of Russia. And no one really can give an account of the source of his misfortune. Some say it was the Tsar who was jealous of the glory this man was receiving because of this pearl. We don't know. All we know is that there came a day when he looks out his window. He's accused of treason. Troops are marching against his estate, and he has time only to grab that pearl and flee for his life with just the clothes on his back. But he sacrificed everything he had to hold on to the one thing he treasured most. How much more is the kingdom of heaven worth any sacrifice? The man sold all that he had to get the field and its treasure. The merchant sold everything that he had to gain this fine pearl. And you know whether or not you really value something by what you're willing to give up to have it. Sacrifice reveals the significance you place. The very same accomplishments that you treasure in your life are usually those that you worked hardest to achieve. I had a math teacher my first semester in college who was probably the hardest math teacher I've ever had. And that grade was more precious to me for those 4 years of college than every other grade I'd ever gotten because I felt like I really earned that one. Saying we love a person doesn't mean nearly as much as committing ourselves to them till death do us part. You know how much you really value something by what you're willing to give up to have it. And for something to be truly significant, you must first sacrifice something of yourself to get it. But what sacrifice is worthy of the kingdom of heaven? If you sold everything that you had for Christ, like the rich young ruler was called to do, would it be enough? This young Russian aristocrat fled to Paris with nothing but that pearl and the tattered clothes on his back. But it wasn't long before he was yet again the toast of society. Everybody wanted to see this guy and this pearl. And he was invited to all the parties and he was lifted up in all the society pages. And it wasn't long before the King of France himself wanted an audience with this guy to see this pearl. And he arrives at this Russian's home with all the pomp that royalty deserves. But all were just ready for this pearl to be revealed and just sort of outshine even the king. But when the case was open, it only revealed a disaster. Whether it was some disease that had stricken the pearl, or the terrors of the trip, or somebody decided they would clean it, we don't know. But it had been stricken with something that afflicts pearls of great size, and its clear finish was no longer full of luster. It was clouded, and its surface was crumbly and pitted, and it was worthless. And that is what it's like for us to gather everything we have and lay it at the feet of the King of Kings. It is like a worthless, pitted, crumbling, diseased pearl. There is nothing that we have to offer that is worthy of Him. There is not enough for us to sell. But it's interesting that in the second parable, the kingdom is not compared to the pearl, but to the merchant. The first, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. But in the second, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. This merchant who sold all he had to gain the thing of great value to him. See, there is only one sacrifice worthy of the kingdom of heaven. It's the very sacrifice we draw to our attention on this Good Friday. And it's the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, where He paid the great price to gain the thing that He treasured, His people. He is the merchant. And He bore all of the disease and all of the shame and all of the crumbling and all of the worthlessness and all of the sin and all of the guilt in His body on that tree so that His people might die to that sin and live under righteousness. And it's that sacrifice, that one sacrifice, that is worthy of the kingdom of heaven and also grants us all entrance into it. Without cost to ourselves, without fear. Because the Lord Jesus Christ sought out His own and bought them back, that they might be His both now and forevermore. But there is still a sacrifice for you to make. What is the thing you treasure the most? What is the thing in which you take the most joy in this life? Money? Praise? Family? Sin? Grades? Sex? Love? Comfort? None of these things compare to the glory of knowing Jesus, who gave everything that we might be His. The man sold all he had for the field. The merchant sold everything for the pearl. What does it look like for you to sacrifice the pursuit of all these worldly things and seek first His kingdom and His righteousness? What does it look like for you to know the value of the kingdom and to seek it above all other things? What does it look like for you to love the glory of the King and to long to be a servant in the doorway of His majestic palace than a king on the heap of hell? What does it look like for you to sacrifice these things that pale in His presence, that you might seek Him first? I don't know. For each of you, it may be different. For some, Jesus says, "Go, your faith has made you well." For others, He says, "Sell everything you have and come follow me." To others, he says something this, and to others, he says something else. What does he say to you? What does it look like for you to seek first the kingdom of heaven? Does it look like devoting yourself to the reading of his word and to prayer more than you devote yourself to whatever is on Netflix? Does it look like making family worship a priority in your household so that you, by your own example, gather everyone and say, this is what's most important, and we ought to look into this more? Does it look like making use of your spiritual gifts to build up the household of God rather than letting them lie hidden under a bushel? Does it look like redeeming your vocation and doing your work and your job, wherever it is and whatever it is, in a way that makes it clear that Jesus is your king and not money or acclaim or comfort, and that you work for him whether your boss is watching or not? Does it look like coming to Jesus? And loving him in your heart, in your soul, with your mind, with your strength? What does it look like for you to sacrifice the pursuit of these mediocre things and seek first the kingdom of heaven, so that all these other things would be added later, but that you would value what is most valuable first? I don't know. But the Lord Jesus does. And he tells us here that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. It's like a fine pearl. And there is inherent in it a pursuit that is so worth it that when you find it, when you find him, you would gladly give up these things if it meant you could hold on to him. What does it look like for you to value him and this kingdom in this way? Paul says it this way, and we'll close with this thought. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. May everything we think and feel and do be in glad service to his glorious kingdom. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would exalt yourself before us. It has been said that our chief end, our chief purpose, is to glorify and enjoy you forever. And we confess that it is altogether too easy to let other things rise up and take precedence over you. Our vain pride, our pursuit of worldly things, our love of sin. And we beg of you, Heavenly Father, teach us repentance and to give us a renewed faith that we might have eyes to see our glorious Savior who sacrificed himself to save us. And that we might give all that we are to him because he is glorious. We pray these things in his name. Amen.